Hello, everyone.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
All right.
Woo! How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life.
Woo!
I'm excited. I love doing this every week. Coming at you with the latest in sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever we find in our daily perusal of stuffs.
Stuffs, yes. We do have stuffs for you.
A whole lot of stuffs.
Stuffs.
So, stuff it!
Wow,
because we're
okay.
I don't know where I was going with that.
Starting right off the bat with insulting the audience. That's a good job. But that was Gold on the Ceiling by the Black Keys intro music.
Well, yeah, very good intro good. Music
yeah.
there.
I think they're fun.
Oh,
fun
yeah.
Fun band.
Yeah, I was actually into them before they released El Camino.
Yeah.
There was a song that they had on the MLB 2006 The Show
wow.
soundtrack. And that's how I first got introduced to the Black Keys.
There you go.
Yeah, so video
games,
good band.
Video games are good for discovering music, I find, sometimes.
Sports video games actually are, yeah.
They are.
If you get your hands on a couple of sports video games, check out the soundtracks, because they're usually pretty good. Especially, like, the hockey games and the... Hockey and football seem to have the best soundtracks.
Yeah, they usually have a pretty good selection.
So, anyway, there you go.
But speaking of sports video
yeah,
games...
it leads into a good transition.
As you know, we always start the show with the sports sampler.
Yep, and Mike is the king of transitions.
Thank you. I went from not being able to transition at all to forcing a transition at every possible...
every possible chance. All right, let's let us have our first little taste of this week's The Crispy Noodle Podcast with the sports sampler. What do we got, Mike?
Well, right off the bat, or rather not off the bat, but on the football field, we have some pretty big news for the Philadelphia area. Donovan McNabb, probably the best Eagles quarterback in the history of Philadelphia Eagles football, is set to retire as an Eagle. So that's pretty big news. I mean, we saw it coming.
Yeah,
but
I don't think it's surprising, but it still marks the end of McNabb's
yeah.
career.
It's the official end of an era, the McNabb era. We're going to lay it to rest once
well,
and for all.
I don't know. The McNabb era ended a long time ago as far as I was concerned. But
I know, but this is the final. This yeah. is like the capstone. This
ends any shot of him trying to come back in the National Football League.
Right. So there was some talk about him possibly retiring on September 19th when Andy Reid is in town with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, here we go. Ooh. What a reunion.
Yeah.
Let's get those two together.
Thursday Night Football, September 19th, Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs. Could Donovan McNabb choose that night to have the retirement ceremony?
Why not?
That'd be pretty cool.
Is it in Philly?
It is in Philly.
Well, then I don't see why not.
That'd be pretty epic.
The only thing is, though, would the Eagles actually sign him to a 5-week contract or whenever? What did you say it was, week?
I don't know. I think they just sign people to a one-day contract, don't they?
Yeah, they would literally have to point out in the schedule where it is and then sign him for a one-day contract.
Well, why not? Well, they did it for Brian Dawkins.
Yeah, they always do this for legacy players.
And Donovan McNabb has a big legacy here in Philadelphia. I mean, whether people want to admit it or not.
What?
I'm sorry, that was bad.
Was that intentional? I can't tell.
Yeah, that was supposed to be a joke.
Okay.
But,
no, I mean,
he was a great quarterback for the Eagles organization.
So
especially in the mid 2000s, he was one of the great quarterbacks. He made it onto a Madden cover.
That's right. I have the stats right here. I mean, it's undeniable. He has the record, every Eagles record for passing, including passing yards 32,800, touchdowns 216, and completions 2,800. Played for 11 years. He had 92 wins. 49 losses and a tie.
Ugh. Oh, yeah, the tie he didn't know about.
I didn't know we could have ties, but
I thought we just kept playing, no? Huh? That's true, by the way. That's not a joke for those that aren't Philly fans, because I know we have a couple of listeners who aren't
right.
Eagles fans specifically. That's not made up by us.
That's true.
He did not know that a regular season football game can end in a tie.
there was some.
I feel like that should be worse than a loss.
I feel a tie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ties are definitely worse.
All right, let's change the record. McNabb should get two losses.
Two losses?
Ditched onto that.
So instead of 92, 49, and 1, he's 92 and 51?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, was that two?
Yeah.
Oh, 49. Oh, I thought you said 41 for a minute. I'm no. That's 49. 10. Whoa, no. I wasn't being that hard.
I know I'm bad at the maths, but come on, give me some credit. But no, I know you're trying to provoke me because you know that I hate ties, and I do hate ties. I hate them a lot because...
That's right, you do hate ties.
Is worse than a loss. It is. It's much worse than a loss because you're saying both teams sucked so bad, but they can't suck enough that they can just outright lose. They're like stuck in this middle ground of mediocrity where it's just horrible. It's terrible.
And you know what? Watching an overtime game... where two teams can't score the ball is the most pathetic thing.
You can't even kick a field goal?
It is. It's one of the most pathetic things you can watch.
And it was against the Bengals that game, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was the Bengals.
And they weren't that good that season. I think they only had one win that season, actually.
And the tie.
Woo! Hey, we got a tie! Woo!
Yeah, celebrate!
It's a celebration.
This is what the Eagles are doing after that game.
Woo! We got a tie.
It's funny. That tie that year helped us get to the playoffs. Because we were
9-6-1.
That makes our record, the win percentage, higher than a 9-7 record.
Which was the Cowboys. Yeah, I remember
just
that.
Just saying.
Yep.
But anyway.
Well, your ultimate argument for why a tie shouldn't be allowed should be that.
Right.
In the winning percentage, a tie is factored in as the game was never played.
You play two games and you tie 14, you have a win percentage of 100%. I'm just saying.
What I'm saying is, so that season where the Eagles were 9-6-1 and Dallas Cowboys were 9-7, what you do is to find the winning percentages for the Cowboys. They played 16 games. They won 9. 9 divided by 16, that's their winning percentage.
Right.
But when you have a tie, the tie doesn't even count in that denominator.
Right.
So the Eagles were able to have their winning percentage 9 divided by 15.
Exactly.
And that gives you a better winning percentage.
Yeah, so if you...
That should be your ultimate argument against ties. It's like it doesn't even matter. Yeah, nobody cares about this game.
If it sucks so bad that you can't even count it in the percentage, then just do away with it. That's how bad it is. It's so bad that people like shun them. They don't look at them like, oh, it's so bad. We try and erase it from history, literally.
Right? Slowly but surely, we're erasing it from history.
No, isn't that what the tie is so bad that they don't count it? They're erasing it from history. It's like it never happened. That's how bad ties are.
Yeah, it doesn't count in the winning percentage.
Anyway, so we get off on our tangents.
Yes,
all the time.
One tie. I don't know what ends in a tie.
Regardless, that brings up another interesting point about Donovan McNabb. Angelo Cataldi, one of the big sports talk people here in Philadelphia, said that we should go and boo him one last time. That's right. Oh, well, there's actually an update on the story that I'm just reading that came in this morning that he said he was kidding. But I don't know. Do you think he was kidding? He was the one that orchestrated that whole boo him at the draft thing. Wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
I think that's what the story says. Yeah. He infamously bust a gaggle of fans dubbed the Dirty 30 to the NFL draft in New York in 99, where they lustily booed the announcement of the Eagles' top pick. That's from the Philly.com article. So my question is, do you think that the fans would boo him, and do you think that he deserves to be booed?
All right, number one, I was a McNabb critic, and I'm going to go out and say this.
Okay.
I don't think he should be booed.
I agree.
McNabb, whether all those numbers that you mentioned, McNabb right now is going to go down as the best quarterback the Eagles ever had. It's
Mike Vick or Nick Foles isn't going to surpass him.
No. And that's just, you're going to have to accept that. Unless some magical Jesus quarterback comes out of nowhere and leads the Eagles to a Super Bowl this season or next season, for the time being, you're going to have to recognize that McNabb was the best quarterback the Eagles had in its heyday.
Right. I mean, watching early 2000s football with the Eagles, I mean, how can you deny how awesome he was?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a great moment from 2000 to 2004. I mean, we were living the high life in Philadelphia. We were perennial contenders. We had Pro Bowl players left and right. I mean...
Yeah. He never won a Super Bowl.
Right.
And that is the diss he's always going to have against him.
Look at what we have now.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, come on.
Right now it's not looking too good.
You get rid of that player and you realize, oh, crap. Like, we can barely get 4-12, and he led us to multiple 12-4 seasons.
Yeah,
That's what I'm saying. I know he never got it done.
Don't give too much credit to McNabb. I'm watching you, Mike.
Well, hold on, wait.
I'm watching you.
He also didn't have... We have the best offense that we've ever had right now. He had Todd Pinkston and James Thrash. Go ahead, everybody. Let me hear you collectively say... Who are you talking about, Michael? Well, let me tell you who I'm talking about. Yo, I don't know. That's the
Pinkster.
The Pinkster. I mean, that's the problem, is that he had nobodies. He was playing with nobodies. He had Deuce Daly and Westbrook. But, I mean, how much can you lean on one player?
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
Well, wait. We're also forgetting Freddie Mitchell. Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah, Fred X. How could I forget him?
I want to thank God for my hands.
Yeah. Of course, Freddie Mitchell was famous for 4th and 26, and then pretty much nothing else other than that quote. But regardless, let's get back to the topic at hand. I agree with you. McNabb should not be booed. He was the best quarterback that the franchise has ever had, regardless of what you think of that. Show a little respect. You know, he gave us 11 years. We gave him a lot of crap. So, you know, he deserves a little respect now after 11 years and all those stats and all those wins he gave us.
Yeah, I was a critic.
I know. Well, I think every Eagles fan was a critic.
every Eagles fan is a critic to some extent.
You know that I was a supporter, but I was still always annoyed with McNabb and Andy Reid. I think that's just part of the territory. If you're going to be an Eagles fan, you have to be annoyed with McNabb and Andy Reid.
Yeah. What's running?
What's running? Yeah.
What's that? But it'll be nice that he gets to retire as an Eagle. He's always going to be remembered as an Eagle, not that dinky...
Stint with the Redskins and the Vikings. He was only there for like half a year, wasn't he?
Yeah, with the Vikings. He got benched.
Yeah, in favor of, I can't even tell you who took his place.
Was it Christian Ponder?
Maybe. I think it was.
I don't know.
But regardless, so McNabb is set to retire as an Eagle, still up in the air about what day that will happen, but the rumors are pointing to September 19th against the Kansas City Chiefs when Andy Reid is in town.
There you go. That's a photo op.
Yeah. I think that's good, you know, having the coach that drafted him back in town, and it's a primetime game on Thursday. That's going to be a pretty epic evening with all that stuff going on, all the storylines. The news is going to be wild.
That's probably going to be the most storylines you'll see at an Eagles game this year.
Yeah, yeah. After that, you can basically just stop watching and and just read the news about the horrible losses.
Yeah, and let us tell you about how bad the Eagles are doing.
Right. So look for that in September. That's a long way away.
Yeah.
I realized after saying that. Yeah. So I know there's some current sports news that you wanted to discuss about baseball.
Yep. Let's bring it back to the here and now, because I got a little bit of a baseball update for the Phillies.
Yeah, we've...
For you. So we've been kind of obsessed over Roy Halladay, you know, as most Philadelphia Phillies fans are, because he's our star. He's one of our star pitchers,
right? It's a big deal.
Yeah, the last episode we recorded, he was placed on the 15-day disabled list and was sent over on the West Coast to be examined for a injury in his right arm.
That doesn't sound good.
And it did not really sound that good. That's his throwing arm too. You don't want to mess.
It was looking like really bad news.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with anything in that arm. The results came in, and it's better than what we could have expected.
Better than expected.
Yeah. In short, Roy Halladay has a couple of bone spurs and a partially torn rotator cuff. And what this means is they're just going to go in for surgery to clean out the bone spurs. And then they're, since it's only a partially torn rotator cuff, it's a simple stitch and then let it heal deal, from what I'm told. I'm not an expert in the medical field. Don't hold
You're not
me.
A doctor?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not
Dr.
a doctor.
Dr. Rich Liebig?
No, I'd be the worst doctor ever.
You got some injuries, it seems, and...
I see your arm's a noodle.
Well, good luck with that. Next.
Next, watch the crispy noodle.
There you go. Hey. Tie it all together.
Yeah.
You would be a pretty bad doctor. No offense.
Thanks, Mike.
Sorry.
Good news, everyone.
You'd only have bone spurs.
Yay. And a partially torn rotator cuff.
And a partially torn rotator cuff.
It's basically like a vacation for him.
Yeah.
Oh, I would make a pretty bad doctor too, though, so don't feel bad.
All right, so anyway, going back to the story. In short, what this means for Philadelphia Phillies fans is that Roy Halladay will definitely be out for at least 3 months.
Ouch.
But that means there is a chance he can come back towards the end of the season. And if the Phillies are in playoff contention, they might be able to use him. And what's more important is that this is not supposed to be career threatening. And that's you definitely want to hear that from your doctor.
That is good news.
Yeah.
The big question, though, that's looming over this whole issue is how he will perform when he comes back. Will he be able to perform? I mean, even though we'll get him back at the end of the season, I mean, is it really worth it at that point?
Well, it depends on if the Phillies are in playoff contention. That's what's going to come down to. If this season goes down the tubes fast...
Then he'll just sit out.
Then, yeah, it's probably going to be better if he just sits out and wait till next year and get ready.
What if you try and rush him back for the postseason and he injures it again? Then it could be career-threatening, couldn't it?
Well, Roy Halladay is, I believe, 35 years old, okay. If I remember correctly. Matter of fact, he just had a birthday, if I did my research correct. So, happy birthday.
Yay!
Happy birthday to you. Woo! Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear.
Roy Halladay.
Can I just point out that was almost as excellent editing as... the casino clip that we played. Happy birthday, Roy Halladay.
I'm doing the best I can here, Mike.
I saw the look on your face. If only we had cameras. It was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Anyway,
going back to what I was saying. I believe he's 35, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, he is getting towards the end of his career.
What are you trying to say? It doesn't matter then?
Kind of. I mean, it's... I mean, these are the years where he's got to strike while the iron's hot,
right.
You know?
Well, that is a good point. I mean, if he is coming to the tail end of his career, what are you holding back for?
Right. I mean, you know? He only really has 35. I mean, chances are you got maybe 2 or 3 good more seasons left. By the time you hit 40, you're done.
Yeah, especially as a pitcher.
Yeah. You know, it sounds goofy, but, you know, the arms do become like a noodle, so.
Yeah.
Oh! There you go, Goofy.
Is that our noodle sound?
I meant Goofy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, whatever.
I don't know. That was fun.
So anyway, I hope Roy Halladay has a speedy recovery.
Yes.
And I don't know. It would be kind of cool if he could come back towards the end of the season.
That would be cool. And hopefully they're in playoff contention, although I don't know if they will be.
Yeah, they're going to need to keep up the pace.
Yeah. But, man, this is a sad season for Philly sports.
Yeah, that's been the theme, you know? Yeah. It's just... 2013 is not really going for Philadelphia sports teams.
Can you imagine when football season starts what our sports sections will be like? It'll be like suicide watch.
So, new helmets are out there. We have a news story. Apparently, John Madden ran out onto the field butt naked and tried to commentate on a game that he was not supposed to be invited to.
That was a heck of an effort, and that puts him in third and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
Oh, breaking news. Brett Favre just sent a picture of his you-know-what to John Madden.
Brett Favre is one of those guys that when he's hot, he can really be hot. Brett Favre throws as well as anyone. He throws better than anyone. What the heck am I talking about? He's the darndest guy I've ever seen. He can pick up a baseball with his foot.
I just love that last part. He can pick up a baseball with his foot.
Yeah, that's Brett Favre.
Wow.
All right. So,
anyway,
do we have any other football news?
Just briefly.
Or any other sports news, anyway?
Briefly.
I'm not picky.
We'll take whatever we can get at this point. Just a brief.
How the hell can I make my teammates better by practice?
Allen Iverson, I don't know. How the hell am I going to make this show better by practice? I don't know.
Maybe practice would have benefited us.
Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. It's strange to me, too.
Thanks, Allen. It is strange to us as well. Just a brief mention, the Philadelphia Soul, which is the Philadelphia area arena football team, is trying to persuade Tim Tebow, to sign with them. So a follow-up.
Woo, Tim Tebow. Yeah. Do stuff. I don't know.
That sounded so authentic.
Yeah.
Yay, Tim Tebow guy.
Woo.
What do you think? I mean, arena football, not really that big a deal, but having Tim Tebow in the city.
Well, apparently Tim Tebow's not getting any offers from any other football teams.
What if he surprisingly does well with the Soul, and then the Eagles are like, hey, because Chip Kelly, I like a speedy offense. You know who's fast is Tim Tebow. Maybe the Eagles should sign him. What would you do if that happened? I'd be very upset because I'm not a fan of Tim Tebow. But how would you take it?
I have the perfect sound clip if that happens.
Oh, excellent.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
9999999!
No!
All of those are going to be flying for however long Tim Tebow.
The whole city will just collectively sigh, no.
Yep.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
I'm sorry, I don't want to see Tim Tebow in an Eagles uniform.
No, nor do
I. Not going to happen. I don't want to see that. You would have thought somebody would have signed him as a backup.
Yeah, I'm surprised nothing's happened yet. Do you think he might just take a year off, like Jamarcus Russell? Although,
like who?
Yeah, I know. Really bad example there. Only diehard football players, football fans, will understand that one. So, I guess that about wraps it up for the sports sampler.
Yeah, please don't hire Tim Tebow, please.
That is our last message for the Arena Football League, Philadelphia Soul. Please don't.
Yeah, you guys can have them. The Soul can have them.
Oh, you know what? The Eagles.
No, yeah. I don't want the Eagles to have him. Please.
So we'll end on that dire note. Please, please don't sign Tim Tebow.
Yes.
But things are going to pick up because we have an awesome side dish coming up.
Uh-oh, it's time for a side dish?
That's right.
Woo! Actually, I have to mention something.
Okay, go ahead.
So, you know, we've been trying to share this podcast to as many friends as we could, you know, whether it's from our work friends or friends from college or just childhood friends or family. We're trying to spread this podcast around.
Right.
I want to give a shout out to Andrew Herzog.
Yeah.
I told him to go listen to this podcast, and apparently he listened to this podcast and hit the side dish part and came across our famous sound effect for the side dish. And instantly texted me and said that was the most addicting sound clip he ever heard.
That's why we use it.
So there you go. An extra one for you, Andrew.
Thank you for your support.
Yep. Have another one. All right. Now let's get into your side dish.
All right. So for the first side dish, I stumbled across this video that I thought was hilarious because it's very old and old videos are funny. It's from 1992. It's titled "Don't Copy That Floppy." This is an anti-piracy video.
How old is it?
It's from 1992. Yeah. Classic startup sounds.
Yeah, well, I miss that.
Yeah,
I think when I get my new computer, I'm gonna put that in there.
Hey, go for it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an option to customize the startup.
I'm sure you could find a way to do that.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Oh, Peter, you're right. All right, now back to the story.
So, again, the video is called "Don't Copy That Floppy." It's an anti-piracy video from 1992. Let's take a listen.
But, Jenny, hold up. Look, I brought a disc, and we could copy this, okay? And we can play it on my brother's computer.
Did I hear you right? Did I hear you saying that you're gonna make a copy of a game without paying? Come on, guys. I thought you knew better. Don't copy that floppy.
Well, I just...
Wait a minute.
Who the heck are you anyway?
I'm your MC, Double Death. DD, that's the disc protector. For you and the posse, that's the artist, writers, designers, and programmers. That work up the images for games and grammar. That let you learn, but also play the game you came here for today. Now I know you love the games, and that's alright to do, because the posse who makes them, they love them too. But if you start stealing, there's no more they can do.
But I just wanted to make one copy.
You say, I'll just make a copy for me and a friend. Then he'll make one and she'll make one, and where will it end? One leads to another, then ten, then more. And no one buys any discs from the store. So no one gets paid and they can't make more. The posse breaks up and that closes the stores. Don't copy that floppy. So let me break this down for you. San Diego, no more Oregon Trail. Tetris and the others, they're all gonna fail. Not because you want it, but because you're just taking it. Disrespecting all the folks who are making it. The more you take, the less there will be. The disc becomes fewer, the games fall away. The screen starts to shrink and then it will fade. Programs fall through a black hole in space. The computer world becomes bleak and stark. Loses its life and the screen goes to dark.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
What did you think about that?
I'm hip to the 90s rap music. Wow, I like that.
That was just reeking of 90s, wasn't
it? Yeah, wow.
So that goes on for 9 minutes, actually. So,
what?
Yeah.
9 minutes of that?
Yeah, I just played the first 2 minutes.
Wow.
I haven't watched
too much there.
I haven't watched the last six, seven minutes.
That's a lot of rapping.
Don't copy that floppy.
No, don't.
What do you think about the rhymes that he's been spitting?
The part that really gets to me.
The
part that really gets to me is what's gonna happen if there's no Oregon Trail? Oh no, we won't be able to have dysentery.
What?
What are we gonna do for Carmen Sandiego? How am I gonna know where to find her?
I have to ford the river.
God damn it, fording the river's the hardest thing to do, and it never works.
You lost two oxen and a wheel. That was an awesome game, wasn't it?
Yeah, Oregon Trail was awesome.
Yeah, so if you pirate games, Rich, the Oregon Trail will fail.
Oh my God, what have I done with my life? I don't know. I don't know what I've done with my existence. I thought that I could just freely hand out copyrighted material to everyone.
We have two sad songs now?
Yes! And I stole it!
Oh no!
My life is a sham! It's just a copy of a floppy!
Rich, you've destroyed all those developers and programmers now because you copied that floppy. I don't know if you meant to hit that or not. I don't know if anybody recognizes that scream. That's actually a goat.
And I copied that!
Oh,
jeez.
Wow.
Copy that floppy.
Yeah, I might burn a copy of that. And I love the acting, though.
But
yeah.
I only wanted one copy. Yeah, it was just going to be one copy. Oh, but you never know. I don't know. I forget how the rest of the song goes.
I don't know if you want me to try and find that section.
But if you start stealing, there's no more they can do.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class
say,
I'm skipping.
I'll just make a copy for me and a friend. Then he'll make...
Oh. They hoes, they think they classy.
Yeah, wait, see if there's another instrumental part in it.
Let me try and find some instrumental part.
Let you learn, but also play the game you came here for today.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
Now
it times it!
Oh, you want me to keep going?
Yeah, let it time, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me get back to that. Hold on, wait.
You came here for today.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
Now, I know you love the games, and it's all right to do, because the posse who makes them, they love them too. But if you start stealing, there's no more they can do.
The thing that pisses me off.
One copy.
You say,
say, I'll just make a copy for me and a friend. Then he'll make one and she'll make one, and where will it end? One leads to another, then 10, then more. And no one buys any discs from the store, so no one gets paid and they can't make more. The posse breaks up and then closes the stores. Don't copy that floppy. So let me break this down for you.
Motherfucking pterodactyl.
Yeah.
That fucking sucked.
There we go. You've heard now the official crispy noodle anti-pirating on floppy disk rap song.
Yes, we'll have to mix that together and make a single out of it.
I'm officially in a rap song. Yeah. Woo! I did it. I know rap music.
Aren't you hip to the rap music? Now you can say that you are.
Yeah. Woo.
Oh.
We have way too much fun with little stuff.
I know. This segment was much better than our sports. Like the headline section was like, yeah, Roy Halladay, Eagles, whatever. Don't copy that.
And we get woo, don't copy that floppy.
Don't copy that floppy and we go off the rails.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, all right. Well, on that note, I think it's time to move on to the entertainment entree. That fucking sucked. Radical. Oh, we should have played the radical clip during our Don't Copy That Floppy.
No.
Oh, well.
We'll do that on the next rap production.
Yes, there will be more. Fans of the show know that we have a long history of singing.
Yeah.
Horribly.
We're going to have to at the end of this year. We're going to have to come up with all the songs we came up with.
We should do an album.
We had...
Flock of Taxis.
Flock of Taxis.
We had Don't Stop Me. We did like a summary to the news with that, didn't we?
Yeah. And we now we've got this.
Don't
we already have three songs.
Dude, we're set. That's it. We're going to LA and doing a record.
We can at least do an EP.
I think we should.
The Crispy Noodle EP.
Oh, God.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
Apparently we are. That'll be the intro to the album.
Yeah.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
All right. So what do we got in the entertainment entree?
Well, first up, we have some news from NBC. They have confirmed that Seth Meyers from Saturday Night Live will be taking over the late.
And then with the
yes, I messed up.
It's okay. Maybe somebody else is also coming.
Oh, you touch my ta-la-la. My ding-ding-dong.
Followed by and then to close out the night, you've got that whole lineup coming to NBC.
I think you forgot one.
Cluck went the chicken. And that's how they do it on Broadway.
Yes.
In New York, they're on Broadway, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe we put all of nonsensical syllables all into just like a mix of songs, right? Like that.
We're good like that.
Yeah. Wow. We have a lot of just things that don't make sense.
Yeah. And after every show, we have new ones, don't we?
Yeah. And they just keep growing.
Just add water. It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say?
So... All right. So what are we... what's the story?
Well, that's it. That's just that Seth Meyers will be taking over for Jimmy Fallon, and then Jimmy Fallon will be taking over for Jay Leno. That's been confirmed, quote-unquote.
Oh, all right. Like, we didn't know.
Yeah. So do you think that... what do you think of this lineup? Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers.
Oh, good for you!
So you think it's good?
All right. I like Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. I think he's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Jimmy, that's going to work. Seth Meyers...
He already has experience doing the news.
Yeah, he has
news.
Experience. He's anchored the Weekend Update. And that should be a perfect lead-in into doing his own show. I think it's a good choice. Good lineup.
I think it's a lot of fun. I think they're modernizing everything because Jay Leno. I used to like Jay Leno, but he's gotten a little stale the past several years. I guess that's putting it lightly.
Yeah, I don't know. I always found him a little stale.
Yeah. Well, I always liked the what do you call them?
Jaywalking.
Jaywalking. Yeah. And I always enjoyed the headlines, but recently. They don't have the same zip as they used to.
Yeah.
So I think Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers will be a good 1-2 combo. That's assuming that Jay Leno stays retired, though.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Could he be pushing out another up-and-coming star in Jimmy Fallon?
I don't know if we're going to have enough cable networks to handle all these disposed Tonight Show hosts.
I just had a thought. If Jay Leno decided that he didn't want to retire completely, Fox doesn't have a late-night lineup, do they?
Yeah, they don't. Matter of fact, when Conan left NBC, Fox was one of the bidders.
Yeah, that's who I thought he was going to sign with. But then he went with TBS.
Yeah.
I heard some talk that Arsenio Hall is trying to get back into the game, though. Exactly. But did you hear that?
I
heard a rumor of that.
I didn't hear he was trying to get back into late night.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, well, just a couple of thoughts. So be on the lookout for Jimmy Fallon in a new time slot and Seth Meyers to follow. And that will be, I don't know when the new season starts for late night and stuff like that, but probably later this year.
Aha. Well, then there you go. All right. What's our next story, Mike?
Our next story has to do with some changes going on with some TV shows.
Yes. We've got American Idol talk, which is very weird. I don't think we actually have ever talked about American Idol on the show.
I don't think we have.
Yeah, I mean, so American Idol has been on for a long time now, and I remember the first couple of seasons I actually watched it. I was into American Idol.
Yeah.
Yes, I was. I was secretly into American Idol. But lately it's just been running amok. Things aren't looking good. The ratings have been constantly slipping for this show.
Well, that's because Simon Cowell left.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Or even before that.
Yeah, it was going to be tough to try and find someone to fill his roles anyway. But it just seems like this current line of judges just isn't appealing to the audience.
I never really was into it that much, but I used to watch the auditions because they were funny.
Yeah, that's how I would get hooked into it. I would watch the auditions because they were so hilarious. I would get tied into the actual competition.
But these new judges, I haven't even watched the auditions.
No.
After Simon Cowell left, I just gave up on it.
I've lost interest in it. And you know what? It's also a product that it's been on for this long. It is. It's getting old. Like, I don't even know.
When did it start? Do we know?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it's been around a while. I don't even remember the last couple of seasons. I don't even know who won the last couple of seasons. The last person I remember winning was that guy from the paint store, and he won because he had a U2 song, and it was pretty cool.
Wow, that was very specific.
Yeah. It was. He won on Beautiful Day or something, and it was a pretty cool song.
See, and that's
Lee DeWitt. That was his name.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Look
at my memory.
I was going to say, you can't even remember the winners, but you came through.
Yeah. So anyway, the storyline is right now for American Idol that Randy Jackson has announced he's going to retire. No matter what happens with the off-season on American Idol, with the changes that may happen, he's definitely out. He's definitely retiring. This is his last season. And the rumor mill is that the producers might find new judges altogether, that they don't like this current group of judges. They don't think it's molding right.
Do they not have the right chemistry? Are they... What's the issue?
It seems Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey don't get along.
Oh.
I remember that was an early behind-the-scenes drama news story breaking out. I don't know. I have lost interest in it.
That basically sums up, I guess, everybody's attitude towards it.
You know what else, too?
What?
The auditions aren't as funny as they were.
Really?
Yeah. Do you remember some of those epic auditions that people would come in
and
it would be like a viral sensation?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, I'm pretty sure you need to remember, everyone should at least remember this awesome hit from General Larry Platt.
Pants on the ground, pants on the ground, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground, with the gold in your mouth, hat turned sideways, pan hit the ground, call yourself a cool cat, looking like a fool, walking downtown with your pants on the ground, giddy up, hey, get your pants off the ground, looking like a fool, walking, talking with your pants on the ground, giddy up, hey, get your pants off the ground.
Yeah, pants on the ground.
Oh, what a hit.
Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. They don't do that anymore.
No, they don't. Not at all. There's another one.
I got another one that was awesome. I don't know if you're thinking of the same one, but I got another one.
What is it?
I am your brother, your best friend forever, singing the songs, the music that you like. We're brothers till the end of time, together or not, you're always in my heart. Your hurting feelings in you will reign no more.
Together now.
This one, actually.
I do like this one. It's got a very good message.
Yeah. And
you are my brother.
Yeah, we are brothers, yes. Mike. And he's actually trying, too.
He is. He's giving it his all.
I love you, brother.
He riffed there a little bit.
Yeah. Your best friend forever. Singing the songs, the music that he loves.
Hey, changing it up a little bit.
Well, yeah, because the judges get in and they actually start dancing with them. That never happened.
No.
In my heart, your hurting feelings in you will reign no more. Because I am your brother, your best friend forever. Singing the songs, the music that you love
in your heart.
One more time.
I love that. The judges even got in on
that
it.
That was awesome. That was epic.
That was Ronaldo Lapuz.
With, what is it called?
I Am Your Brother.
I Am Your Brother.
Your best friend forever.
Forever.
Singing the songs.
The music that you love.
We're brothers till the end of time.
Something, something. Something. I can't remember. It just goes on and on.
Yeah.
So on and so forth.
It's an easy, honest and uplifting message.
Yeah, you are my brother. That's a good theme,
yeah,
isn't it?
Why didn't that guy win something?
I know. I feel like he could have been something amazing.
That's what's wrong with American Idol. Bring him back.
I concur.
I want to see him back. I want to see General Platt back and all the other worst contestants.
They should do a duet.
Yes.
Pants on the ground, brother.
Yeah. There you go. We know rap music.
Yes.
We got it.
We are hip.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
Yes, we are.
All right, so there you go, American Idol.
I think we talked about something there.
Hopefully we did.
There was some conversation, I think.
Some sort of general news discussion. All right. Okay. All right.
I need to get this right. That was an awesome transition.
That's going to be a clip.
And, all right. Okay. Use that clip for all the transitions.
All right. So the next piece of entertainment entree news that we've got is just a short little clip that I found on the internet.
Excellent.
Yes, it's on the internet.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Well, this time it was me. And the internet was speaking to me, apparently.
Oh, wow. So we both share the gift.
Apparently. Yeah. Go figure. And this was a interview that Jon Stewart had with J.J. Abrams. He right now directs the Star Trek new movie film franchise that they're building around. And he's also tasked with directing the new Star Wars film that will be promoted by Disney, actually.
Yeah, I'm excited about those.
And it's a little startling, though, this interview that Abrams had with Jon Stewart.
Uh-oh, startling.
Yeah, because he gives this interesting little tidbit about himself.
Okay.
You ready to find out?
Sure.
All right, let's play the clip.
The idea that you are going to do this to the Star Trek, and you're also going to do the Star Wars movie. You're going to do both. Do you realize?
No, it's an incredible...
incredible.
It's a surreal thrill. It's a total honor.
Have you... Do you delineate in your mind... Star Wars, they're so different. I mean, they are just so different. They're fundamentally different. I always felt like Star Wars had a Western sensibility.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I agree. It's a... It's sort of a samurai movie, Western, you know, whereas Star Trek was... When I was a kid, I never liked Star Trek when I was a kid. Growing up, I always thought it was, honestly, I couldn't get into it. My friends loved it, and I would, like, try, and I'd watch episodes, but it always felt too philosophical for me. And we tried to, like, some of the writers love Star Trek. I was not really a fan. My producing partner never saw it.
Right.
So when we were all happy, it felt like that was the way to go. And this movie that we did, the goal was to make a movie for moviegoers, not just for Star Trek fans.
Right.
So if you've never seen Star Trek before, you can see this movie. If you have seen it,
I mean, the interesting thing to me was I stopped listening to you when you said you didn't like Star Trek.
Wow, that's a big admission on his part that he didn't like Star Trek.
And now he's in charge with directing the future of the Star Trek film franchise.
Right. And of course, a couple of years from now, he'll be like, oh, guess what? I never liked Star Wars either.
Oh, my God. If he says something like that, then why are you working on Star Wars? I'm sorry.
Here's the thing, though. I think his Star Trek reboot movies have been pretty well. I haven't seen the second one, but the first one I thought was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
The Star Trek in 2009?
Yes.
Yeah. It was good. I can't put my finger on it, but
just something a little off.
Something that doesn't click. Or it doesn't seem like a Star Trek movie. There's something that I don't know. There's something off in it. And I can't really put my finger on it.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah,
the point is that I'm okay with what J.J. Abrams is doing. I think he'll do a good job with Star Wars, especially with Disney running the show. They've done a good job with the Marvel universe.
I'm hoping it's more the Marvel characteristics flow into Star Wars than the J.J. Abrams characteristics flow into Star Wars.
See, I'm a J.J. Abrams fan, though, in general, because I was a big fan of Lost, the TV show. Which
Lost I never
on.
Got into.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just not
Is it the alternate reality time travel thing that bugs you? But you like Back to the Future.
Yeah, I like... I'm not saying time travel's bad. I think when you put alternate reality, you open yourself up to a lot of plot holes. And,
right.
And I think you got to be careful with that.
Well, the
you
biggest
You can't
thing...
have that as a... I feel like alternate reality is not a good backbone in a story.
Right.
And if you do that, you open yourself
up
to a lot of holes.
With any time traveling or alternate reality plot, the biggest issue is the time traveler's paradox.
Right.
Where they give you the issue, if you go back in time to kill Hitler, then your future version will have no reason to go back in time and kill Hitler. Therefore,
right.
You don't kill Hitler. Therefore, Hitler is there. Therefore, you go back. You see what I'm getting at?
Right, yeah.
So that's an inherent flaw in any time traveling movie, any alternate reality movie. But if you can get over that, I just ignore
unless
that.
Unless you have no reason to be in the past.
Yeah. I just ignore that. If you ignore that paradox, every time-traveling movie, TV show, whatever, becomes infinitely better. If that is going to be a major sticking point for you, then you might as well just give up on Back to the Future and Star Trek and anything that remotely involves time travel.
Yeah, there's some things you have to suspend.
Yeah, and that's one of them. But anyway, like I said, so J.J. Abrams, good luck to him. Looking forward to the new movie.
You better like Star Wars, though.
Yeah, you better like Star Wars. That's right.
Yeah. Otherwise, just give up that role and give it to somebody else.
But the new Star Trek movie is coming out soon, right? Or is already?
Yeah,
it's already out.
I believe so.
Well, I'm behind then. Okay.
When this podcast is out,
the movie will be out.
Yeah.
Star Wars is not set to release until 2015, I think.
I believe so.
Okay. So.
Yeah, that's gonna be crazy.
Oh, can't wait for that. The trilogy of trilogies he always imagined.
Yeah.
George Lucas.
Though he's not going to be directing. Woo!
Thank God. Celebrate.
Yeah.
The person that created the franchise isn't directing it. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
It sounds horrible to say that, but that's the truth.
Yeah, George Lucas is not... He's a great creator of worlds
creator
of stories.
He just can't get it down on paper. You know what I mean? Like, he can envision it. Like, the whole idea for the Star Wars universe is really cool. Just, I feel like he has a problem, like, laying it all out in, like, concrete form. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's tough.
His dialogue has always been, you know...
Oh, my God, yeah. Sand is
rough. I don't like sand.
George Lucas.
Even some of the original trilogy was a little too campy, but
George
not
Lucas
so bad.
Can never write a romance scene ever again. Never.
They were some of the worst in all of movies.
Never.
But anyway, so luckily J.J. Abrams is taking over for George Lucas for the new Star Wars trilogy. And just one more note before we wrap up the entertainment entree. Make sure you check out Netflix starting next week because Arrested Development, which was cut short in its initial run on TV, is returning for a fourth season, launching May 26th. All 15 episodes will be available to stream on May 26th. So I'm a big Arrested Development fan. I know there are some other people out there that are big Arrested Development fans, or else it wouldn't be coming back. So support it in its triumphant return, and make sure if you have Netflix that you check it out.
All right, there you go.
So just that brief announcement to wrap up the entertainment entree.
Woo!
Some parts were a little stranger crazy. than they usually are. But that's usually how it goes here, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the nature of the crispy noodle. All right, and that's your entertainment entree. All right, and now it's time for a second side dish.
All right.
Woo! Yeah!
All right, so you said you had something interesting.
It's a mom who doesn't understand the Matrix. And okay. Her son, who's really good at audio recording, thank God.
Oh, no.
Has captured her every word.
Oh.
As she tries to explain what happens in the Matrix trilogy. Or the Matrix, sorry, the first Matrix, sorry.
Is this like the opposite of the three-year-old explaining Star Wars?
Yes, this is the opposite. Because she has no idea what's going on.
Wow.
And, you know, to be fair, the Matrix is a little bit confusing to understand.
Yeah.
But you should be understand some basics of it. And unfortunately, right. This mom doesn't really know
okay.
a whole lot after her first watch, her first watching of The Matrix.
Well, let's hear what her analysis of the movie, I guess.
Yes.
If you can call it analysis.
All right. This is The Matrix retold by mom by Pixels Per Second. This is the name of the YouTube channel that this is from. So let's play the clip.
Mom.
Yeah.
How was The Matrix?
I don't know if I could say I liked it.
Can you tell me the story from beginning to end?
The movie starts with a young woman who has superpowers, excellent judo skills, jumping skills, flying skills. She ends up at a bar, and at this bar is Neo. He is the one who can beat out The Matrix. He followed her. It gets a little tangled. He meets up with one of the humans who are left on the computer.
Who's that?
Moshimo. And Moshimo offers him a blue pill or a red pill. And this I did not get at all. It was like he was in water, he lost his hair, he was going through tunnels. And later he told Leo that Leo just was not fast enough.
Leo?
Neo. I keep on wondering, is he straight or gay? Because I think there's always been a question about that.
I didn't ask you about his orientation.
No, he could be bi. I really don't know, but he's really cute. So anyway, Neo and his girlfriend, what's the girlfriend's name? Go to the computer, whatever, to set free Moshimo. Or, what's his name? Come on.
Where did you come up with Moshimo?
What is it? Mustache? I know it's an M. So anyway. They use these guns. Now, I'm not sure where they got all those guns, but they ended up with a ton of guns.
What did you think of all the bullet time?
The what?
Bullet time? Where time froze?
It's awfully hard for me to say because, you know, I don't like violence, so a lot of times I would close my eyes, so I probably missed bullet time. Anyway, they come back down to Earth, and they start this epic fight, and it's a lot of judo. The agent kind of throws him down to the train, and he's going to be run over by a train. But you know, I forgot what happened. Maybe I closed my eyes again.
And that's the end.
She basically didn't watch the movie if she closed her eyes that much. Moshimo?
First off, apparently the character Morpheus is now Moshimo.
Yes.
Or Mustache.
Mustache. Please remake The Matrix.
Just like that.
With his name as the Mustache.
The Mustache.
The Mustache. You have to go meet Mustache.
And then randomly she's like, I wonder if Keanu Reeves is gay.
Yeah, where did that come from? Is that like a major plot point that we missed? Is like the Matrix a euphemism for something?
I don't know. I never thought of it like that.
It's just so weird. Her analysis was entertaining, to say the least. Moshimo.
Yep.
Or Mustache.
And also, she didn't really know what Keanu Reeves' name is. She keeps going back from Neo to Leo.
Leo.
Like, yeah. Like, Leo's going to show up. Well, it would be a common theme, questioning reality.
That's
Inception.
Right. He could get there in a Honda.
It's a miracle!
It's a miracle she even got some things of that analysis right.
Yeah.
What else did... Oh, she missed Bullet Time. How do you miss Bullet Time? That's like a third of the film is in Bullet Time.
Yeah.
That was just... That was awesome. I like, how old was she? Do we know?
I don't know, but apparently it's this dude's mom.
Wow.
And it's making the rounds right now on the internet, so if you want to check it out, go to Pixels Per Second. That's the YouTube channel.
I feel like I should do something like that with my dad.
So, there you go, if you're interested. The Matrix Retold by Mom, who has no idea what's going on in that movie.
None at all.
He stands on a computer. Not in the computer.
That's right.
Stands on the computer.
All right, there you go. Interesting side dish for you there. All right, Mike, do you know what time it is?
Only time for my favorite segment of the entire show.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo-hoo! All right, you ready for some odd news?
I am, but to start off, I actually found a news article. I know I said I wouldn't do this anymore.
You got one that you had to bring up?
Yeah. I know I said I wouldn't do this anymore, but I just stumbled across this, and I had to bring it because I thought it was funny.
All right. Wait, what's the story you brought?
So here it is. This takes place in Seattle, I think. A Calum County man angry at his neighbors went on a rampage with a bulldozer Friday, damaging four homes, knocking one off its foundation, and cutting power to thousands of people. The home sustained substantial damage, but nobody was hurt, said Jim Bort of Calum County Sheriff's Office. The incident occurred in a subdivision near Highway 101. A highly agitated Barry Allen Swaggle, 51, was booked into the Calum County Jail for first-degree malicious mischief.
Woo!
A Class B felony. Investigators were told that Swaggle and his neighbors had a long-running dispute, but it's not clear over what. A neighbor named Phil Riley said a disagreement over a property line had been escalating for a long time between Swaggle and Dan Davis. Those two properties were severely damaged. Jesse Major, a 19-year-old student who said his grandmother lives in one of the damaged homes, said Swaggle is known in the neighborhood because he sometimes digs seemingly random holes with a bulldozer late at night. Major, who attends Pacific Lutheran University, said his grandmother wasn't hurt in the incident. Of course she was scared, Major said. Something was being pushed into her house. The rampage knocked over a 70-foot utility pole and left a pickup destroyed. The downed power lines prevented authorities from fully evaluating the damage to the homes. Swaggle just went nuts, Keith Haynes, another neighbor, told the newspaper. He took a skidder and took out two houses. I mean, demolished. It was like a war zone.
This guy just loved to dig holes.
Yes, he loved
to
dig holes.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Right there, that should be a warning sign. Something's wrong with your neighbor.
I'm not sure why he has the bulldozer in the first place, though.
Yeah, who gives him a bulldozer?
It was
a birthday present.
It was a birthday present?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Here's a bulldozer.
I like the quote from the boy, though. That, of course, she was scared. There was something was being pushed into her house.
Duh.
But anyway, so, yeah, a man just decides to rampage through a subdivision with a bulldozer.
That's crazy.
I mean, can you imagine being that pissed off about property lines that you destroy a couple of houses? Four houses, to be exact.
I got a joke here.
Oh, no.
You are encroaching on my line of property. If you do not move your items, I will be forced to invade your area. You better move your stuff now. I got a little bell on my bulldozer.
Oh, okay.
That's where the bell's coming from.
Ah, okay. I was wondering. Did you used to be a lawyer?
I'm a lot of things, Mike.
A lot of things?
Some you know and some you don't.
Whoa, mysterious. But as a lawyer, you should know that this is a Class B felony for malicious mischief.
Yeah, right. I got this contained in court. I got it.
Okay.
The bell knows what I'm talking about.
That's another thing, the charge of malicious mischief. That sounds stupid.
Yeah. They could have come up with a more official title.
I mean, doesn't mischief... I guess mischief isn't malicious all the time. I don't know. It just sounds odd, doesn't it?
A little bit. All right, you ready for my stories?
Yeah.
All right. My first story. Elderly residents at a senior citizen home used cocaine and ran a prostitution ring from their unit. Two elderly residents have been arrested on suspicion of using cocaine and running a prostitution ring out of their apartments at a senior citizen housing complex. James Parham, 75 years old, admitted providing prostitutes with crack cocaine to younger neighbors at the Vincent Tibbs Senior Citizen Building in New Jersey, police said. Parham and another resident, Cheryl Chaney, were charged with possessing drug paraphernalia and maintaining a drug nuisance. Cheryl also faces a charge of possessing crack cocaine. Police also charged Selma McDuffie, a school crossing guard, who has now been suspended because she kept visiting the complex. So this was an elaborate little ring going on.
Wow. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I do cocaine!
Woo! Right, go do some cocaine at the old folks' home.
I do cocaine!
Woo!
So the old people were, what was it, crack cocaine and prostitution?
Yeah, they brought in prostitutes, bribing them with cocaine.
Wow. Hey, that's a smart business venture. Do they make a lot of money?
Until you realize that it's illegal.
So you, yeah.
That's what happened. They just had dementia, and they're like, oh, it's illegal. It's
legal. I wonder if that would hold up in court.
But I got a joke here.
Oh, so now you're back to being a lawyer.
I'm a man of many hats. Though I wish I had a hat on my head because it's very hot today. And I'm going to go with that, yes, these old people should not be charged. They don't know what they're doing. They think the bell is their son coming to see them. So let them have their fun with their cocaine and prostitutes. Thank you very much.
Why would they need cocaine and prostitutes to have fun with their children?
No, I'm saying that they thought the bell was their son coming to meet them. But
so why would they need cocaine and prostitutes?
No, their children never come and see them. They're old.
So why would they need cocaine and prostitutes?
Because they need something to occupy their time with, damn it. Wait until you're old. You're going to see how boring it is. The bell knows what I'm talking about.
All right, then. That was weird.
So they will be charged with crimes, and they're going to have to face it in court. So there you go. That's our first story.
Those old people.
Crazy old people.
You just never know with them.
Well, here's something else that you may never know.
Okay.
Mourners at a funeral in Zimbabwe were stunned when the dead man woke up that they were mourning over came out of his coffin.
Oh, my gosh.
Brighton Dama Zainth, a 34-year-old, was being laid to rest inside a coffin last Monday after he had apparently died from a long illness. The transport worker's grieving family covered his body with blankets and made arrangements to transfer him to a mortuary. But the next day, Mr. Zainth's friends and relatives scattered in disbelief when he started moving as they filed past him to say an emotional goodbye. The dead man's boss, Lot Gatka, told the Herald of the moment he realized his employee was still alive. He said, quote, I was the first to notice him moving his legs when I was in the queue to view his body.
It shocked me. At first, I could not believe my eyes, but later realized that this was indeed summoned movements on the body as other mourners also retreated in disbelief.
Wow.
This is pretty crazy.
That is.
Another witness said that the family desperately pulled blankets off of Mr. Zant's body to revive him after realizing that he was still alive. The newspaper, which is owned by Zimbabwe's government, had reported that he had spent 2 days on life support after being rushed to the provincial hospital following the incident. He was discharged last week and has since returned home, and he's alive.
Just a minor setback, you know.
Yeah.
Dying and almost being buried, and then you're back to the routine grind of work and...
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Get to work.
So how long was he, quote-unquote, dead?
Looks like at least a couple days.
What happened that... Does it say why he appeared dead?
The shaken family man says that he only has a hazy recollection of what happened.
Well,
this issue can best be told by people who came to my house to attend my funeral. I don't know what happened, and I only remember being on life support system in a hospital. Everything else is history to me. What I can only confirm is that people gathered at my house to mourn, but then I was given another chance, and I woke up, and I'm alive, and I feel okay now.
Well, there you go. I was given another chance, I woke up, and I'm alive.
Yeah, so go figure.
I can't even imagine the family's reaction. I mean, it's got to be frightening at first. I'd probably freak out.
I think it's also odd that out of everyone to notice, your boss noticed first.
Right.
Hey! You're not dead yet! You're just trying to weasel yourself out of work, aren't you? You just don't want to show up Monday morning. Oh, I see what's going on here.
Yeah, I want to know how quickly he was asked to go back to work.
Yeah. Get to work!
Get to work.
Oh, hey, you're resurrected? That's great. Now get to work! I can see your arms moving. You can do some computer work. You get back on that computer station.
I just find it amazing that he was dead for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And he didn't give any signs or,
nope,
or anything.
All right, our next story. A Chicago man broke his 81-year-old mother's hip in three places.
Boo.
He broke his mother's hip in three places after he drunkenly fell on her and then passed out, pinning her to the kitchen floor for hours.
Oh, no.
Robert Golba was arrested last Thursday and charged with felony violation of an order of protection. Golba's mother, who hasn't been named, was able to call relatives for help at 4 p.m. and they alerted police.
Wait, he was that drunk at 4 p.m.?
Yeah.
So drunk that you collapse and break your mother's hip?
Yeah.
Wow.
The incident occurred during an argument at the home that the two shared. First responders arrived at the scene. The son was unconscious on top of his mother, and they reported that the pair's legs were intertwined. The mother... Sounds a little weird.
I'm sorry. This might just all be a ruse.
Anyway, doctors operated on her severely broken hip. The man actually had to be taken to a hospital because he was treated for alcohol poisoning.
No, really?
Yeah.
That's a shocker.
Now, the reason why he's being charged with a felony is because he had previously been restricted from visiting his mother's home under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
So this guy has a history.
Yeah, he does.
Of drinking and collapsing on his mother.
I don't know about collapsing on his mother, but he has a history of abusing drugs and alcohol. So there you go. 50-year-old breaks his 80-year-old mom's hip.
Wow.
All right, next story. Firefighters in New York City received an unusual request. The firefighters had to rescue a cop that was stuck in a tree because the cop was trying to rescue a cat in the tree.
Well, this settles the age-old debate. Firefighters are better than cops.
According to the New York Post, New York's firefighters had to spend 30 minutes to write a rescue gone embarrassingly wrong. First, the police department responded to a 911 phone call from a resident in Queens who noticed that a cat was high up in a tree across from public school 213, which was just letting out.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
What was that?
That's what the kids were saying.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
Veteran police officer Dane Nato and his partner arrived on the scene. Nato tackled the tree, climbing up to get the cat, but the cat saw the cop coming and climbed higher. Nato did the same. Finally, the officer had to admit defeat and realize that he, too, was stuck in the tree three stories off the ground. This is a hell of a tree.
Yeah, it is.
A growing audience, including school kids, watched as the fiasco unfold.
Oh, no.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
That must have been so embarrassing.
The kids stopped laughing long enough to call the New York Fire Department.
You make it sound like they just stood there laughing for hours on end. And then finally, like, guys, we should probably call the fire department.
Luna Gion, who is on the scene, reports that when the New York Fire Department arrived, they didn't go straight to helping him. They gathered around and laughed at him.
Oh, no.
They took their time to rescue him.
Oh.
That's an actual quote.
Oh, man.
That's definitely embarrassing.
That is.
Finally, using a ladder to climb the tree, firefighters got the feline. So that's good. They were able to rescue the cat.
Oh, that was...
My cat's name is Mittens.
Ralph Wiggum, right?
My cat's name is Mittens. He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
That's the important part of the story, is that the cat was rescued.
Yep. The cat was rescued, and so was the cop. The rescue took 30 minutes, but unfortunately for the cop, Nato, the story's probably going to last his whole lifetime.
Was the cop meowing, too? Meowing for help?
Maybe one of them.
My cat's name is Mittens. He's so fluffy, I'm going to die!
I just feel bad for that cop. He'll never live that down.
Yeah, that's pretty embarrassing.
That is. I just can't imagine he would climb up that high that he would get stuck.
Yeah. Next story. You might find this interesting.
Okay.
In England, police say that they are seeking a woman who is accused of assaulting a teenager while she was dressed as the Hulk superhero.
Ah.
Hulk! Smash!
Was she talking like Hulk as well?
Maybe. She was wearing the costume.
Was it like a full costume?
Apparently. Police in York, England has released CCTV footage of the woman dressed as the Anger Power Green superhero in an attempt to identify the suspect. Investigators said that the woman allegedly punched the 17-year-old girl in the face.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Outside of a McDonald's. Give me Big Mac!
Hulk! Smash!
Look, just a tip for everyone. If you see someone dressed as the Hulk, maybe stay away from them.
Maybe let them first in the line for McDonald's.
Unless it's Halloween or you're at one of the Comic-Con conventions, maybe don't go near the people dressed up as superheroes.
Yeah.
Just a suggestion.
Police Constable Cheryl Hunter has said that it was a wholly unprovoked assault. Thankfully, the injuries were not too severe, so the girl is fine. The teenager is fine.
Well, that's good.
But the woman has not yet been caught yet.
Well, here's a tip for the police. She's giant and green and
smashes.
Yelling and smashing things.
Hulk! Smash!
I really want to know what's going on with this woman in her life that she feels the need to do that.
Dress as the Hulk and walk around and beat up people at McDonald's.
Is this what... Where was this? England?
Yeah, that
is
was
that
England.
Is that what they do during a midlife crisis? Dress up as Hulk and they go on rampages at the local McDonald's?
Maybe. Okay, are you ready for this story?
Sure.
Gonna get weirder on you.
All right, hey, as if it weren't weird enough already.
In Massachusetts, police in Massachusetts said a woman allegedly attacked a sandwich shop worker with her fists and jars of pickles because there were too many pickles on her sandwich. Police said Tina Druin ordered a steak and cheese sandwich at Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs Eatery at the Quincy subway station Saturday and complained about how it was being prepared and said that there were too many pickles on it.
Urgh.
Are you nuts?
I'm going to fight you now.
Drowen demanded a refund and allegedly became violent when the worker would not return her money. She allegedly punched the other woman in the face and shoved two large jars of pickles at her, causing the worker to fall to the ground. Druin fled from the station. However, the sub maker determined not to let her escape and gave pursuit.
Yeah.
She caught up to her and held her until police or officer arrived. So this woman was caught.
I wanted a brawl or something.
Over pickles?
Yes.
This is what the sight of a pickle does to Mariah.
My name is Brian. I hate pickles. I hate everything about them. Pickles are destroying my life.
What I hate most about the pickle is the shape, the texture of it, the color.
Where did this all start?
When I was really little, I couldn't stand them.
You couldn't stand them?
No.
And you're a waitress?
Yeah.
In a restaurant? Aren't there pickles around?
Yeah, but I'm nowhere near them.
You're nowhere near them?
No, I'm not, no.
What happens if somebody wants a pickle?
That's too bad.
Right?
It's too bad.
Wow.
That was Mari?
That was from Mari. That was a girl who was afraid of pickles. I thought maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe this was the same girl.
I just want to keep listening to that. That was fascinating.
This girl's afraid of pickles.
Wow. I just.
So we got one woman who's scared of pickles and another woman who's willing to fight you over pickles.
Wow. I can't. That was the.
Ah, pickles!
That was the strangest thing I've. I don't know. I don't know. That's the only thing I can say.
I don't know.
I can't even form sentences about that. That freak out was incredible over pickles.
Ah, pickles!
Wow. And she works as a waitress.
Yeah, and then she's a waitress.
That's the best part.
Yeah, don't you have to deal with pickles?
Well, that's too bad.
They're far away from me.
What if someone wants to order a pickle? Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, wow. That's the worst waitress.
Sorry,
ever.
We don't serve pickles here.
What?
She was like crying the whole time just at the mention of them. I mean, I get that she has a fear and, you know, she's trying to cope with it, but it's just
so absurd.
It's so
it's not like a pickle comes out of the refrigerator with a knife and is about to attack you. Like, what?
That's a legitimate fear.
Yeah.
As if the pickles can wield knives. But as far as I know, pickles are, you know, setting
condiments!
Yes.
That's it!
Don't they make relish out of pickles?
Yeah.
Is she afraid of relish, too?
I guess. I don't know.
Now, what type of pickles? Is it just... Is it
all
like
pickles, apparently.
All pickles? Pills? Dickle?
Dickles? What is on your mind?
I was trying to say dill pickles.
Dickles. Heinz. Heinz, coming soon. Dickles.
God damn it.
It's the product that will leave you satisfied in more ways than one. The
dickle.
The dickles.
The dickles. Yes, I'd like a dickle in my bun. Yes, I was trying to say dill pickle. Oh my God. One slip up and you're doomed forever.
Yeah. All right. And that was the non-fortune cookie odd news.
Oh man. Such a great segment.
Yeah.
I always love the odd news.
Ending on the pickle story.
And pickles, I know, with my disastrous flub, but that's all right.
It's okay.
If you're tired and you don't want to say dill pickles, just call them dickles.
There you go. You've got it.
You've got the dickles. Just for you.
All right. Let's end the show now.
Before Mike makes any more embarrassing mistakes.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Please end my misery.
All right.
End it by celebrating.
That's right. There we go. When we play the celebration music, it means it's the end of our show.
So sad. Yeah. But you can stick with us throughout the week by checking us out on Facebook. Just search for The Crispy Noodle. And you'll come to our fan page. You can find us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. And if you want to follow us individually, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. And there you go. That's all you need to know to follow us on Twitter. Also see the website, thecrispynoodle.com.
Of course.
For our hilarious articles and things that will make you laugh.
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.
Yes, that's right.
And on YouTube, because we have little highlight reels on YouTube as well.
That's right. So we're everywhere.
So that's right. We are everywhere.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us. I am Rich Liebig.
And I am Michael Costanzo.
And this has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life. That's all for us. That's all from us. Sorry, for us. See, I'm already messing up. You couldn't avoid it, right?
No.
That means we got to end the show.
Yeah.
That's all from us. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.
Later.
So some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Tickle.
I am your brother, your best friend forever, singing the songs, the music that you love.